Okay, good morning. I don't know where everyone is, but those of us that are here, we made it to worship the Lord. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We have a very busy morning scheduled, and so let's pray. And there was a, what church was it? A really super guy. Anyway, he made the statement talking about either prayer or the Lord's table. You remember which it was? They said, let's get this out of the way. Was it communion or was it prayer? Prayer? Yeah. And he said, let's get this out of the way. So, and then he thought about it. Well, that is a good word, good way to word it. But let's get our prayer, and so that we can get on with the wonderful morning of festivities. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this season, the incarnation of our Savior. For God thought holding on to deity was not something to be grasped, but the sake of forsaking the human race, and took the form of man that he might take our place on the cross. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not here to ruin anyone's Christmas singing, but something came up at the pre-trib conference, and I just want to be sure everyone here is educated. Look at carol number 88 in your songbook. This is a traditional Christmas hymn. But it was not written as a Christmas hymn. It was written the second advent. It was written for Jesus Christ coming again. And if you think through the whole song, now, you know, sing it for Christmas if you wish, but I just want you... I just want you to kind of pay attention. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Well, that could be Christmas. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Now, look at the second one. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. He doesn't reign today. He does not reign today, but he will reign in the millennium. Let men their songs employ with hills and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. The earth has not been affected by the first advent or in the church age. Third verse, no more let sins and sorrows grow. The world, every individual on earth at the beginning of the tribulation or the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that will be a restraining on sin. He rules the world, verse 4. He doesn't rule the world today, but he will at the second. So I just wanted you to be aware this became an issue at the preacher conference. And yes.
Whole picture. We have this verse in the first verse, and we have the balance that unfolds.
It's kind of like one day last week where you were here. Yeah.
We can sing about the whole picture.
The whole picture. Very good. All right. Got the whole picture there. And so anyway, let's have a morning of just have fun in some of these wonderful him, so where'd he go? Oh, there he is. I can see. All right. I didn't see you there. All right. I want you to lead us a song.
We did get number 88 out of the way a couple of weeks ago. let's turn to song number 83. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sing the first and last verse. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the
let's turn to number 90. Do a couple of verses. The first and last verse of hymn number 90. Good Christian men rejoice. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting all. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Okay, let's, like I said, we've got much that we need to cover today, and let's deal with some prayer. And so, first of all, how's Thomas doing?
Good.
I like that.
It was a little worse than last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's livable, but yeah, the numbers went down. That was kind of
okay.
Disappointing.
Significantly?
Yeah, no,
okay.
They'd be concerned if it was
good. Very good.
So it was just, you know, all across the board went down.
Okay.
I don't want to see that very often. It happened a lot.
Very good.
But his labs were great, so everything's good there.
All right. Terry, could it just be a matter of his busyness at this stage of his life? Not as pressure if there's one.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be allergies or anything. Yeah.
All right. Do we have? Let's see. As far as our prayer requests, and let's continue being in prayer for Thomas. Yes, sir.
So, prayer request for the young man Jeremiah, the
Jeremiah,
boy,
yep.
Out in got hit by a car in a fire wheel.
Yep.
So it is amazing watching the Facebook witnessing that's going on. There's a gentleman, I'm not sure where he lives, but he posted yesterday, Jeremiah, something along the lines of basically, I lost my leg today, and because Jeremiah is going to lose this, they're going to have to amputate his leg. And but the gentleman who wrote said, as soon as I get out of here, I'm coming over to see you, and we're going to talk about what the good Lord has planned. And how his work is always done, and it will be amazing.
Wow.
And so just the phenomenal witnessing that's going on
because
of the situation with Jeremiah. So please pray for Jeremiah.
And family.
Family, yep. They haven't amputated. I don't think they've amputated yet. But his request for Christmas was he wants a blue prosthetic leg with fire on it.
Well, at least he has a good attitude about it. That's very good.
It's just amazing to watch. So
that's very
it's a
good.
Blessing and a very painful thing to find out.
Very good.
Family, so.
Well, let's pray for a blue prosthetic leg with a fire flame on it. All right, any other prayer requests that we have? Yes.
We've got a praise. The young man that's a missionary in China that we had mentioned.
Yeah, I want you all to listen to this story. This is really amazing.
Several months ago, that is currently in Indianapolis. He's in his late 30s, had stage 4 lung cancer, incredibly healthy, runs marathons, no explanation for why this happened, had to come home from China with his wife and 3 small daughters. He's been undergoing treatment, and we've been praying for over a year for him. And a lot of people around the world. His own parents are unbelievers, and the town in China where they have their ministry, there were a lot of people when he was diagnosed with this, and including his parents, who said, well, if you truly serve a God that's all-powerful, he ought to be able to heal you. And so it's really been on all of our hearts that, okay, God, we'd love to see you healing for a lot of reasons, including witnessing to his family. Well, they just got new reports this week that there is no sign of cancer currently in his body, and it has been spreading, and they have suspended treatments, and he's going back to China for the first time in 18 months next month to celebrate Chinese New Year and to spread to everyone what God has been doing.
Beautiful. That is an answer to prayer.
James
and family, but this is
gonna teach him joy in the world.
So he'll be ready
for the
return.
There you go. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
We have a good friend named Rex Granstra, who has just passed away on Friday morning.
Is that right?
He went in for a surgery to repair a brain aneurysm, and it ruptured, and he didn't make it. So he was a believer, his family believers. He has a young son who's a senior in high school who, certainly will be struggling with this situation.
Absolutely.
He had just lost his grandmother a week ago. Also, the same young man, his name is Kyle, just a great, great friend of ours. So
good.
Be in prayer for their family. And the impact that his belief will have on so many others probably during this funeral time and the gathering.
We'll be in prayer, but please keep us posted. All right. Any other prayer? Yes.
Just one announcement, if it's okay.
Yes.
We're going to have the Christmas
presentation
here at 11:45-ish, depending on when it's done. And then after, we have a bunch of the kids coming from the Liberty Youth Group and Liberty Camp that are going to be having a Christmas party here after church. And so if anybody would like to stick around to say hi to some of the kids, it's going to be, an hour and a half long. I don't have any idea how long it'll end up being. But you're welcome to stick around and say hi and
wonderful.
Welcome the kids. So
wonderful.
The young adults.
Good.
And kids.
Very good. Thank you for letting us know that. If you got time, do it. Yes.
Another prayer of Thanksgiving. My girlfriend Judith has been on the list for quite some time. Has just undergone all the chemo treatments, and she too got extremely little help. So thank you to the doctors and her whole family for strong believers.
Wow, that's good news. My goodness. Yes.
Yes, I'd like to ask for some prayer for due to some significant job challenges over the next couple months.
In your life?
Yes.
All right. Be in prayer, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that with us. Please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? I had an interesting story. Brian Sinclair. Jennifer had planned, had to leave, but he was telling me this morning, he's just an unbelievable witness, but he was at work, and there is a black gentleman there, been there for about 6 months, maybe 25, between 25 and 30, and he wears a cross, outwardly where it can be seen. So Brian went up to him and said, "What's this?" And he looked at him, and he said, "Well, it's the Lord's Prayer." And Brian said, "Well, what's that?" And so he starts, going through the Lord's Prayer and said, "Okay." He said, "You going to heaven?" And he said, the guy just stood there and looked at him. He said, "Well, I sure hope so." Okay. Let me ask you a question. You go to church? Yeah. Yeah, go every Sunday. Goes to church every Sunday. Reared in a Christian home. Did not even know John 3:16. Brian says, "Well, do you know John 3:16? He said, "No." He said, "Well, do you know how to be sure you're saved?" "No." And we're just talking how a shame, grew up in a Christian home, go to church every Sunday, and not know how to be saved, not know John 3:16, just basic stuff. And so Brian gave him the gospel. And the guy just looked, wow. And they looked at the passage, John 3:16 in the Bible. And he's done this with others. And there's another man, it's a great story. He gave the gospel the same way. And the guy would answer, "I hope so." So about every 2 months, Brown would go up to that gentleman. He'd say, "Well, you're going to heaven? And he said, I'm not sure about that right now. And Brian's given the gospel very clearly. And a few months ago, about 4 months ago, the guy came up to Brian at work with a big smile on his face. I've got that taken care of. I'm going to heaven. And so it this really was wonderful. But just be in prayer. And the gentleman's name, I'd like you to be in prayer. But Brian said, Herman, his name is difficult to pronounce, but it's something like Giangelo, but something like that. And so just pray that the gospel, the Holy Spirit will work the gospel and get him to realize it's very easy to go to heaven. And so any other prayer requests or anything? The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is first of all defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but that isn't all. Got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, trusting the Holy Spirit. Paul said, if I give everything that I have so that I become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So we need to know Jesus Christ is our Savior by faith, the Holy Spirit as our guide by faith, and then he will guide in this area. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful season. It's a season, Heavenly Father, where you gave to us. You gave to us your Son. He gave to us his life, that we may have eternal life. Father, we pray that you will continue to use this assembly in 2016. We thank you for using it this last year. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the number of ways you use this humble assembly and the spreading of the gospel through the internet, young people, missionaries, and right here in our own assembly. Father, we pray, therefore, you receive these offerings, use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. James. At the conference, the pre-trib conference a couple weeks ago, I was just startled with some of the things that is going on. And one of those deals with the lineage of Jesus Christ. Please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian. Apartheid is going on in Palestine as we sit here. Jesus is a Palestinian par excellence. These are by different leaders of countries in the Middle East. Jesus was the first Palestinian. We always remember that Jesus was the first Palestinian. Because in the final analysis, Jesus is a Palestinian. And each of these leaders have different things to say in that regard. Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters, and we should act as such. That was by the great Pope. Okay, let me see if... I'm going to put this on hold, James. So just, we can leave that up there, I guess. All right, who was Jesus Christ? As we approach Christmas, the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth, we're going to spend a few moments today just to be sure that we're all like-minded in regard to who Jesus Christ is and is not. We live in a strange time in history. Those of you that up in age, we used to have Christmas plays and Easter celebrations. It was easy to witness. I wonder how many children today even know about what Christmas is really about. On that note, just in the news, I was a principal of some school, I think Connecticut, but do not quote on that. But they were, the children were doing a Charlie Brown Christmas presentation, and he banned it once Charlie Brown said, "Who knows what Christmas is really about?" That was not to be included, and anything thereafter. And they went from there to singing secular songs. And it's just amazing, the anti-Jesus Christ world that we live in. And so very few people, many people read that, that Jesus was a Palestinian, and, oh, wow, okay, okay. But it's not okay, people. And I just want to be sure that we understand where he came from. And this presents an interesting question. The first question is, who are the modern-day Palestinians? That's the first question. Working our way backwards, modern Palestinians are Arabs. So this begs a question, what is the origin of the Arabs? And so let's take a quick look at that. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Now, the Arabs, and as long as we still have some semblance of freedom of speech, I can say it, Arabs are here because of sin. It's that simple. They are here because of sin. I will support that with the scriptures. Let's start with the sin of Abraham and Hagar. Now, verse 1. Now, Sarai. Her two names reveals what the grace of God can do. Sarah means bitter, contentious, dominative, quarrelsome. But look over at Genesis 17:15 a moment. Just turn over a page to Genesis 17:15. God changed her name to Sarah. Sarah means princess, noble woman. So God can take a contentious, bitter person and turn them into wonderful people. That's something that God can do. But right now, she is Sarai, and you will see she lives up to her name. Let's see how. Abram's wife. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And now this is very bad. Today even, I understand, a lot of ladies really upset if they can't give birth. But at this time in history, it was really a bad mark if you had not given your husband children, and especially male children. And so it was very heavy on her. And so she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. And like so many things in our lives, our barrenness, listen now, Sarah's barrenness was a test from God. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah 30. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah 30, 18. These are going to look at a couple of verses just as a side trip for a Christmas challenge. Isaiah 30, 18. Those of you who have electronic Bibles, I don't even look at y'all. I watch people that are looking up in their paper Bibles and paper pushers. So I like that. All right, Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, righteousness. How blessed are those who long for him. Now, you see that word long? That's the same word translated waits. He waits on high. So what it really says, how blessed are those who wait for him. A lot of times we can't wait on the Lord. We want our presence, and we want them now, and we want what we want. All right? Isaiah 40. Verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. There's a whole lot of imagery going on. Eagles and running. And if we were studying the passage, it is a powerful passage. But we'll just let those things kind of sink into your mind. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Those who wait on the Lord. And so Sarah is not going to wait on the Lord. And so she's going to have a problem. Every problem should be regarded as a blessing in our lives, people. Every problem should be regarded as a blessing. That's why we can give thanks in all things. We can give thanks in all things if you regard everything as a blessing. Now, let's go back to Genesis 16. Genesis 16, verse 2. So Sarah said to Abram, now she's barrenness, she's failing the test, said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, but I've got to have it my way. And I've got to have it my way, and I've got to have it my way right now. So she says to her husband, please go into my maid. How about that? Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Well, surprise, surprise. But he listened to the voice of his wife. Now, Sarah comes up with a human solution to her problem rather than waiting on the Lord. People, human solutions often get in the way and they actually prolong the plan of God. This is going to prolong the plan of God 13 years. I'll show you that. We often, when we come up with our own plans and intrude on God's timing. So she did not want to wait on the Lord. People, when we refuse to wait on the Lord, we often really mess things up. Hagar's womb is no better than Sarah's. Understand that? Her womb is no better. It's up to God. All right. One, high motives do not justify wrongful actions. High motives do not justify wrongful actions. Two, those we love can often lead us contrary to the plan of God. And that's an unfortunate but biblically true principle. Those we love can actually lead us contrary to the plan of God, as Sarah is leading her husband, Abram. Okay, human solution now. We've seen the problem. Now human solution, not wait upon the Lord. Verse 3, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar, the Egyptian, not Jewish, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. Isaac is going to be postponed some 13 years because Sarah could not wait. And when she, Hagar, saw that she, Hagar, had conceived, her mistress, that Sarah, was despised in her sight. I'm better than you, is what's going on here. Hagar just decided, I'm better than you. Okay, the Hebrew word means to despise, that when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she thought very lightly of Sarah, which was really custom. The ladies that did not give birth, especially sons, wasn't praised too highly. The art of blaming others is the next thing. And Sarai said to Abram, Okay, listen to this. Talk about throwing blame. Sarah went to Hagar. I went to Abram. Said, go into my maid Hagar. Abram does. Hagar gets pregnant. So look what Sarah says in verse 5. Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. It's your fault. She seeks to justify her own actions. It's all your fault. People, let me tell you about putting blame. The reason we cast blame is that it takes some of the problem pressure off of us. It's not all my fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's this person's fault. It's your fault. That takes a little bit off of us. So this is what was happening with casting of blame. I'm not exegeting. We're just reading through. So with a few comments. Okay. Now, I gave my maid, continuing verse 5, and Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong done me, by her getting pregnant, Hagar getting pregnant, be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. People, they're both guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. All three of them. All right, verse 6. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid, he just throws it right back on her. This is a fun study if we were studying it. Your maid is in your authority. Do to her what is good in your sight. Not very wise decision by Abram here. But he's not doing too good in making wise decisions all along here. So this is not a wise one. So Sarah treated her harshly, and Hagar fled from her, Sarah's presence. People, when you're in sin, you lose all sense of grace. All three are out of the plan of God. And now we have pregnant Hagar running away. But you just have to understand, when you're in sin, grace, true grace, is out the window. Now, origin of the Arabs. Verse 7. Now, the angel of the Lord. Da, 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 this is Jesus Christ. Found her. Appeared to her. Didn't, he wasn't looking like he didn't know where she was. To her by a spring of water in the wilderness. Wilderness, land that has not been cultivated. Land that doesn't grow anything, just an open wilderness area. In the wilderness, by the spring, on the way to Shur. What is this? She's headed to Egypt. She's going home, going to run home. Okay? Verse 8. He said, here, Jesus Christ is actually talking with Hagar. She doesn't know who he is, but we do. This woman has the privilege of having the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the second member of the Godhead, talk with her. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where, he's letting her know he knows who she is. Where have you come from, and where are you going? He is asking this for her benefit. He, of course, knows. But he wants her to think about where she's from, where she's going, why she's doing it, to get her to see what's going on. And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. Verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Verse 10. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, now here it is, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. This is the origin of the Arabs. They are from Abram, and the Egyptian woman, Hagar. The Jewish line, Isaac, will be from Abraham and Sarah. This is why the Arabs claim that they're sons of Abraham and they're entitled to the land of Judah, because they are also of Abraham. They're not of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are of Abraham, Ishmael. So this is what we're dealing with. Now look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, said to her further, he's still communicating with her, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son. Wow. Now, I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. I don't like this day where ladies know months before the child's born. I like the day, it's a boy, it's a girl, yay! And those days are gone. Nobody does that anymore. We all know, so you can have the right cigars and the right paint in the bed, baby's room and all that kind of stuff. But this is really phenomenal here. I'm going to have a son. That's very important. Not another little girl, but have a son. And he will be the head of a race. So let's take a look now. And you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, which means God hears or God understands, because the Lord has given heed to your Hagar affliction put on her by Sarah. Now, verse 12. Okay. Blessing, you're going to have a son. Well, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. Look at verse 12 before you get too excited. He will be a wild donkey of a man. An untamed animal. Well, thanks a lot. Just keep him. I don't want him. See? So, first of all, good news. You're going to have a son. Yes! Well, calm down. Let me finish. He's going to be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone. And everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of all his brothers. Now, the Arab people, some people don't get along. They don't even get along with each other, much less with the world. This is their characteristic. This is their genetic background. So this is the way things are. So verse 13, describing the Arab race, he will be a wild ass of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are a God who hears, who sees, for she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? I believe she's now a believer. I believe she has become a believer at this point. She called him Lord, and she understands, so he who sees the Lord does not live. So she says, and I have now continued to live. Verse 14, therefore, the well was called Beth Laharoah. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Merid. The well of him, this is what it means, the well of him who keeps on living and seeing me. All of that, his name, that's what it means. The well of him who keeps on living and seeing me. This is her testimony. He lives and he sees me. Verse 15. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. This will postpone the birth of Isaac 13 years, because they just had to do it their way. Okay, this is their origin. But who are the modern-day Palestinians who claim that they're Palestinians? Who are they? Let's first take a look at the word Palestine. This is not Palestine, Texas. I wish that it were, and for a long time I still kind of believe this is where Jesus is going to set up his kingdom in Palestine, Palestine, Texas. He'll come back to Texas, set up his kingdom, and rule from here. But I guess that's not true. All right, now, Palestine. This is also called the Holy Land. The word is not in the Bible. The name in the Bible is Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N, an ancient country in Southwest Asia and on the east coast of the Mediterranean. Later in history, the region where the kingdom of Israel and Judah were located. Palestine is a designation of an area of land which the Philistines occupied, a very small part of the land occupied by the Canaanites. The Philistines occupied this land, occupied by the Canaanites, the Phoenicians, and the Israelites. Now, while some may try to give a dogmatic definition of the origin of the word Palestine, no one is certain. I'm going to give you two or three. I'm going to give you two here and one in a few moments. One, it may be derived from the word plesh, P-L-E-S-H-E-T-H, P-L-E-S-H-E-T-H, meaning root palish, P-A-L-A-S-H. This is a food carried by the migratory tribes, kind of like similar to our beef jerky. They carried it to migratory tribes, and which came to symbolize the nomadic people. Or it's a Greek designation for the nomadic people, the Philistines. So those are two popular options. Now, modern Palestinians. In 1943, well, people, Jesus has been born a long time before any of this came up. He was not a Palestinian. There were no Palestinians. Okay. All right. In 1943 to 1948, the country is divided between Israel, Jordan, and Egypt. In 1948, the Jordanian and Egyptian parts were occupied by Israel in 1967. Now, the origin and identity, another one I want to give you, share with you, that I think is more leaning to the truth. However, the food name is pretty solid. But another one of the so-called Palestinians. Palestinians are the newest people on the face of the earth now. They are the newest breed of people on the face of the earth and began to exist in a single day. Yesterday, there were no Palestinians. Today, there are Palestinians by some kind of a seemingly supernatural phenomenon that is unique in the whole world history of mankind, as is witnessed by Walid, W-A-L-I-D, if you want to look it up in the internet, Shobit, S-H-O-E-B-A-T, a former PLO terrorist that acknowledged the lie he was fighting for and the truth he was fighting against. Truth he's fighting against Israel. Okay. Why is, quote, why is that date on June the 4th, 1967? I was a Jordanian and overnight I became a Palestinian. Continuing quote. We did not particularly mind Jordanian rule. The teaching of the destruction of Israel was a definite part of the curriculum. But we considered ourselves Jordanian until the Jews returned to Jerusalem. Then all of a sudden, we're Palestinians. All of a sudden, Palestinians. They removed the star from the Jordanian flag, and all at once we had a Palestinian flag. When I finally realized the lies and myths I was taught, it is my duty as a righteous person to finally speak out. This declaration by a true Palestinian, maybe the first Palestinian, wasn't Jesus, but it may be Walad, but should bear a lot of weight as we consider the origin. Now, indeed, there is no such thing like a Palestinian people or a Palestinian culture or a Palestinian language or a Palestinian history. There's no such thing. Egyptian, Arab, but not Palestinian. Not Palestinian. There has never been any Palestinian state, neither any Palestinian archaeological find, nor coinage. Palestinian coinage. Now, if you picked up the disc last week from Jim Langston on all the papers that were given at the pre-trib conference a couple weeks ago. They went through very carefully how the UN, today, no recognition of Palestinians. All of a sudden, they're voting, they're a Palestinian state. Just like that. And it really is interesting, the voting that went on, who voted against it, who voted for it, how long it took, all these kind of issues. Now, the present-day Palestinians are an Arab people with Arab culture, Arabic language, Arab history. And I've told you the origin of the Arabs, Abram and Hagar. They have their own Arab states from where they came into the land of Israel about one century ago to contrast the Jewish immigration. That is the historical truth. They were Jordanians, and the man told you that. They were Jordanians, another recent British invention, as there has never been a people known as Jordanians until Britain made them up. Britain made up Jordanians. They weren't there. Britain made them. And after the Six-Day War, in which Israel utterly defeated the coalition of nine Arabic states. You can just see, you know what? Nine states and we couldn't take out Israel. Let's bring in the whole world at Armageddon. Surely we'll be able to do it then. Well, surprise, you're not going to be able to even then. All right. Now, continuing. The nine Arab states and took legitimate possession of Judea and Samaria. The Arab dwellers in those regions underwent a kind of anthropological miracle and discovered were Palestinians, something they did not know the day before. Yesterday we were. Today we're Palestinians. All of a sudden, how did this happen? Of course, these people, having a new identity, had to build themselves a history. And the only way the victims of the theft could not complain as if those victims do no longer exist. Therefore, the Palestinian leaders claimed two contradictory lineages from ancient people that inhabited the land of Israel, the Canaanites and the Philistines. That's our history. Now, I want to give you something I found really interesting in regard to Palestine. The last attempt of the Jews to achieve independence from the Roman Empire ended with the well-known event of Masada. Some of you have been to Masada. It's really an interesting place to go to. Not in the Bible, but it's in history. All right? That is historically documented and universally recognized as the fact that determined the Jewish diaspora in a definite way. They took over Jerusalem, went up and took Masada, and that was when Jews were scattered throughout the world. The land where these things happened was until then the province known as Judea, and there is no mention of any place called Palestine before that time. The Roman emperor, this is interesting, Hadrian, H-A-D-R-I-A-N, was utterly upset with the Jewish nation and wanted, listen to this, historically proven, wanted to erase the name of Israel. It's amazing how everybody wants to get rid of Israel. Make sure these Jews are gone. No existence of them whatsoever. So Hadrian had that idea. And make sure there's no memory of the country that belonged to these rebel people. He decided to replace the domination of that Roman province and resorted to ancient history in order to find a name that might appear appropriate, and found that the extinct people that was known in the Roman times called Philistines was once dwelling in that area, and they were the enemies of Israel. Therefore, according to Latin spelling, he invented the new name Palestina for the Philistines, a name that would be also hateful for the Jews as it reminded them of their old foes, the Philistines. Philistines, one of the great enemies, regard to the story of Samson. So that's where they fit into that area, and to David. King David took the Ark of the Covenant from them. Okay. Let's see. He did not, I reminded them of their, he did so with the explicit purpose of effacing any trace of Jewish history. Ancient Romans, as well as modern Palestinians, have fulfilled the Hebrew scripture prophecy that declares they lay crafty plans against your people. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of the Israel be remembered no more. Psalm 83, 3 and 4. Some of their books written just on Psalm 83. I've been tempted to, when we finish 1 and 2 Thessalonians, before we get back to normal studies, studying with you Psalm 83 because of its importance. But we'll just see where the Spirit leads there. They fail as Israel, or they fail as Israel's still alive. Any honest person would recognize that there is no mention of the name Palestina in history before the Roman Emperor Hadrian, and the remain a province of Judah. That such name does not occur in any ancient document, Palestinian, is not written in the Bible, neither in the Hebrew scriptures, nor in the Christian Testament, not even in Assyrian, Persian, Macedonian, Seleucidian, or other Greek sources. Just doesn't mention anything about the Palestinians. The Palestinian people was ever mentioned, not even by the Romans that invented the term. If Palestinus allegedly was a historical inhabitants of the Holy Land, why did they not fight for independence from Rome? Occupation by the Jews themselves. How is it possible that not a single Palestinian leader headed a revolt against Rome invaders is mentioned in any historical record? Why there is not any Palestinian rebellion group mentioned? For an example, the Jewish Zealots. Why every historical document mentions the Jews as the native inhabitants and the Greeks, Romans, and others as foreigners dwelling in Judea, but never the Palestinians, neither as a native nor even as a foreigner? What is more, there is no reference to any Palestinian people in the Quran, although Muslims claim their prophet was once in Jerusalem, an event that is not mentioned in the Quran either, not mentioned by him either, but it appears evident that he did not meet any Palestinians in his whole life. Nor, that's Muhammad, did not meet one in his whole life. Nor his successors did either. He lists some Arabic names here that knew the Jews and kindly invited them to settle in Jerusalem, that he recognized as their homeland, but he did not know any Palestinians. To claim the Palestinians are the original people of Yasa Israel is not only against secular history, but also against Islamic history itself. The name Palestine, Falastin, that Arabs today use for Palestine, is not an Arabic name, but adopted and adapted from the Latin Palestina. How can an Arab people have a Western name instead of one of their own language? Because the use of the term Palestinia for the Arab group is only a modern political creation without any historical or ethical grounds, and did not indicate any people before 1967, an Arab writer and journalist declares, quote, there has never been a land known as a Palestinian governed by Palestinians. Palestinians are Arabs, indistinguishable from Jordanians. Another recent invention that we just went through, Syrians, Iraqis. Keep in mind that the Arabs control 99.9% of the Middle East lands. Israel represents 1/10 of 1% of the landmass, but that's too much for the Arabs. They want it all, and that is ultimately what the fighting in Israel is about today. No matter how many land concessions the Israelis make, it will never be enough. Joseph Barah, Myth of the Middle East. Now, no Palestinians in history. So, as we go into this Christmas, what is the history of our Savior? Let's see if we still got it. All right, here is the history of the lineage of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Now, we've gone through the lineage of the Arabs. We've talked about Palestine. So let's look at the history and the lineage of Jesus Christ. We start with Adam, to Abraham, Isaac, then we jump down to David. And David, we have in Matthew's line, the royal line, Solomon, Jeconiah. Now, the curse of Jeconiah is very important. It's very important in history. But we won't study that right now, but just to let you know that Solomon and then Jeconiah down to Joseph, the legal father. Then we go to Mary. We go to David, and the Luke account is the genetic line through Nathan, down to Holly, down to Mary, down to Jesus Christ. So we see that Jesus Christ is, you can turn on the lights now, Jesus Christ is Jewish. His lineage goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then follows all the way down. It's well documented. One of the most interesting studies, in the Bible is a study of chronology, genealogy. It's just absolutely fascinating, the study of the genealogy. And you can learn so much. It's not boring. It is not boring. It is exciting. It is really interesting. Look at Matthew chapter 1 a moment. We got a few moments before they're ready. So let me see if I can share this with you. And okay. When you read a genealogy in almost any history book of any country, any people, it doesn't deal with people. It doesn't deal with events. It deals with people, not events. But I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 1 that is just jumps right out at you. Look down, let's just start at verse 11 in chapter 1. And to Josiah were born Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. Whoa! You're studying genealogy and it talks about a deportation to Babylon. That's what we studied in the study of Daniel. Daniel was taken out. That is so interesting and so important that you stop the genealogy and talking about event, and then after the event, verse 12, and after the deportation, 70 years, to Jeconiah was born, and then it goes through the rest of them all the way down to Christ. So the genealogies are important, but here is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, your Savior. He is a Jew. Not the first one. He has Jewish heritage. He has the royal line to be the king, the legal line to be the king, royal line through Mary of the family. And God worked it out where they came together and in Galilee, and they gave birth, she gave birth to Jesus Christ, our Savior. So just so you'll have it for the Christmas holidays, and I know this is going to come up at your Christmas dinners and lunches. Well, it was Jesus. And you'll be able just to go through this whole thing now and make it very clear. Jesus is definitely a Jew. He is a Jew. Yes. Yes. We'll be on the internet.
I can't.
All right, it will be on the internet. Yes, you can have it. And this one's a very, very simple. I started to make it very complex and put in a whole lot of different people and all. And like I even left out Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. just drop down to David. Chuck taking up David's dad, Tara, and how all of these are still related through Tara and all the way down. It's an exciting genealogy. I made it very simple so that we could see. We left some out, but all these that are included are the primary ones down to Joseph and Mary. They give birth to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay? All right, let's close in prayer and get ready for our presentation. Yes?
I'm just curious. It goes on in verse 17 to talk about the 14 generations.
Yes.
David, what's the significance of the 14 generations?
What is what?
What's the significance of the 14 generations?
Well, what he's doing is showing you how you can calculate a generation of people. Because some people would read it and they don't see the 14. But he's showing you how, if we were studying genealogy and studying that chapter, we'd learn how to calculate a whole generation. The 14 generations. Okay? All right, let's get ready for a wonderful program. And we've got to clear out all of this stuff so that they can have the front stage. So let's close in a word of prayer and then we'll get ready. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you are in control of all history. The birth of our Savior. Who's going to become president next year of this country? It's all in your hands. That's our peace. That's our comfort. That's our joy. It may not be our choice. It may be our choice. It may not be. But it's your choice. You're in control of history. And Father, we just rest assured that all things will work out to your glory and our good. Father, we thank you for the heritage of our Savior, that we know these things about him, and we're not left to confusion. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay?
We are excited to do our annual presentation of the real Christmas story. And our kids this morning are going to present the scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we have a couple of songs that we would like to sing. So just sit back and enjoy.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you."
When he is reassured, Mary tries to think what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin."
The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Once more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius, who was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them.
Born the King of Nations.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Oh, my bad.
Hey guys, you can step up a little bit. Hark the Herald. Riley, you're going to start. 1, 2, ready, go.
Hark the Herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic voice proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be shepherds for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When he saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Star of wonders.
John 1:14. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of Father's one and only Son.
Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
If you guys want to sing with us, please, the kids are going to sing. We would love you to join us. Kylie, you want to join us? One, two, ready? Go.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing.
Spring Valley Bible Church for all the support and all the prayers, and just all the love that you show our Liberty Youth Group, who meet every week, and our Sunday school and our camps during the week. So the kids are just passing out a little thank you. Herman, if it's okay with you, we were going to have everyone just circle around and close where it goes selling on the mountain. You could close with some prayer.
Thank you.
Good job. You did fantastic. Natural.
Is it in our book?
Everybody
is that song in our book?
Yeah, go tell them out. Sarah, well, we don't know.
Page 82 if you have a hymnal.
Thank you.
No one picked me up, so.
Singing some kind of song a couple of months here, or weeks, whatever. All right, let's start closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this season. We get to reflect. Whatever day He was born, we celebrate that. That God became man, and man became the servant of mankind. Father, how grateful we are, and thankful we are for this assembly. The fellowship we have together, enjoyment of each other that we have. And we just pray, Father, that you will continue to use this assembly through this next year in spreading the gospel to both Christians and non-Christians. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
Amen.
There is a party afterwards, so stick around and join us if you would like to. We'll
go get the chicken.
Have some goodies.
Yes, but also the Tri Valley Bible
study. Chris, I'm going to return late in the afternoon. Oh, what?